Our scripture reading today is Luke 18:9-14. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Many years ago, actually even a little before my time, there was something called the Jesus Movement. In the 60s, and they turned on to Jesus as the answer to the problems of their time, and they began to write songs about this. And one of these songs was a song by a group called Ocean. Probably had no recollection of that, but they had a very catchy song. It was called, Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man Who Stilled the Water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently. If you put your hand in the hand from the man from Galilee. Nice song, nice and upbeat. And then they do the second verse. And the second verse is, every time I read the holy book, I want to tremble. When I read about how the carpenter had to clear the temple. God, the buyers and the sellers are no different people than I claim to be. It's hard. I don't want to hear that. But it's true. And it's to the point. One of the things that makes these Bible passages hard is the words change their meanings. You know, at the time that this was written, if you went out and you asked people about Pharisees, they go, oh, they are amazing, aren't they? They are so holy and good, and they give money all the time. They do works of charity. They are such good people. And then you would say, oh, there's Samaritans coming. And they go, oh, goodness, we better hide. So you see, a Samaritan at that time was kind of a corner cutter. You know, if they were dealing with Jews, they'd pretend that they were Jewish and they would talk about Jewish things. But then they would turn around, and if they were dealing with people who were going to the Asherah pole to worship, they would go ahead and worship with them too. They mix it all together. They cut corners. They go in any direction they had to. They went along to get along. But we see Pharisees as bad people and Samaritans as good people because Jesus flipped the script and turned it all on its head. So what does Jesus want us to change? As you look at sins, almost everybody has a pecking order in their head. And most people look at the ones that are really bad. Oh, let's see, murder, stealing, adultery, bearing false witness against someone else. The ones that we had no intention of doing and aren't tempted by are the worst ones. The ones that we struggle a little bit with are lesser ones. Why? Because we're human. That is a natural human instinct to switch things around. But as you look at it longer, you start to get different insights as to how that might be. One of the books that really changed my life was a book called The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And Dr. Foster writes about how placing disciplines in your life as linchpins or focuses changes your perspective on life. Scripture, prayer life, journaling, fasting. These disciplines change the way you see life. And I believe it's in its 17th, 18th, 19th printing now because it's such a powerful work. But after I read that one, I'd read his next book. And his next book had the best title any book I can ever remember. Money, Sex, and Power. That doesn't get your attention. I don't know what would. But you know how he came up with that title? He did a Bible study and looked at what are the things that the Bible talks about most often. Money, sex, power. Funny, you go to the Ten Commandments. Are those at the top of the list? Depends on how you read them. First commandment is, you will have no other gods before me. And I submit to you, those are the three gods that rise to the top most often. Lord Acton is the author who penned Power Corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. As you get a hold of power in this world, it usually comes with money. And as we've learned from the Weinsteins and others, sex seems to follow. But in and of themselves, money, sex, and power are not bad things. Money is how we exchange goods. It's how we buy food. It's how we get a place to live. It's how we get along. Face it, if it weren't for sex, none of us would be here. Properly understood and properly used, it is a blessing. And power as well is the ability to get things done. But when they possess you instead of you possessing them, something happens. A separation between you and God. See, the reason that we misunderstand sin is we misunderstand what sin is. Sin is what separates us from God. As I said, one of the things that's very human is we tend to look at the things that we would never do as bad, bad sins. And the things that we struggle with as lesser sins. God doesn't care. If it separates us from God, it's bad. Even if the world looks at it as good. That separation is the problem. And that separation is something that sometimes we miss. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens a little bit at a time. One of the things that is humbling, read the story of the saints, the people who were so close to God. And one of the things that will strike you is how often they look at the world and go, oh, I felt that. Oh, but for the grace of God, that could be me. You'd think that the people who are so tight with God, so close to God, so familiar with God, would see sin as so far away, but they see it as very close and very near and something to always be cautious of. Mother Teresa, when she was doing her work in Calcutta, when she saw the people who were truly miserable and dying, would say, here comes Jesus, but my, the devil has given him a hideous disguise today. It was her way of acknowledging how difficult and repulsive it was to reach out to the person because of the disguise that was on the outside. And it allowed her to reach through and get to the image bearer of God that was on the inside. So as we look at what it is that God wants us to change and what the bigger sins might be, we might start with that first line in Luke's scripture. To some who were confident in their own righteousness. It's pride. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they had a relationship with God where they would walk with God in the garden in the cool of the evening, side by side. And yet, when the opportunity came to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they decided that they knew better than God, and although God told them not to take it, they gave it a try. And they broke that relationship. So as we look at the world, and as we look at sin and the way it's viewed in the world. One of the things that we have to understand is that sin is everywhere. Sin is very personal. It's very individual. But what's universal is that God wants us to reach out to Him, to control it and manage it. The things that tempt us require God's help to overcome. God understands that. I know it's a parable, and the Pharisee and the tax collector do not actually exist. But in my mind, I would like to imagine the Pharisee walking home later that day and encountering something that gives him temptation or pause and going, oh, I missed the opportunity to reach out to that poor schmuck in the temple and let him know that God's love was available even to him. Because I think the question is not so much what does God want us to change, but how God wants us to change it. I don't think He wants us to do penance on our knees and gravel and sackcloth and ashes. I think He wants us to turn to Him and allow Him to restore us. Don't look at your sin as, it's not that bad. I don't really need to clean it up or change it. Say, it's nothing that God can't handle. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I really think it's that simple. You have to acknowledge the sin in your life. Acknowledge that you need God to change it. And when you do, the cleansing begins. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we live in a world that wants to choose sides and point fingers and talk about their sin and how bad things are. Help us to understand that we're made in the image of God and we need to look in the mirror and see what we need to do to draw closer to you and let that image come out. Lord, help us to understand the cure is simple, the power is available, and that you're waiting. Amen. Now I'd like to...